بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. You tune in to Youth Talk with me, Bibi Aisha Lahey, on Radio Islam International and Simbacast on CRS FM. This morning, we're talking about teenpreneurs. In South Africa, youth entrepreneurship is encouraged as the best way to build the economy. Teenagers are no longer relying on tertiary education to jumpstart their careers, as many high school students are becoming budding entrepreneurs, from selling makeup to cupcakes, babysitting, artwork, social media adverts. The possibilities and creativity is endless. Technology and social media make marketing easy, and that's how many teenagers are out there making money and doing what they love. Now, to tell us more about teenpreneurs, my first guest this morning is Mr. Gerald Mwandiambira, more fondly known as Mr. G. He's an international finance and economic speaker, author, and TV and radio personality. Good morning, Gerald Mwandiambira, and welcome once again to Radio Islam International.
Morning, Aisha, and good morning to all the listeners.
Thank you so much for making time to come on to Radio Islam. I know you're a very, very busy man.
No, I try to make myself available, and I'm here anytime you need me.
Thank you so much. Okay, Gerald, please explain, what is a teenpreneur?
A teenpreneur is essentially a person who, let's go back to basics. A teenpreneur is just a young person who is starting to make money for themselves, and it's really a function of more and more youth are becoming more knowledgeable on financial matters, as well as having the capability to earn money. So, for example, the youth of today are very good on social media. They can build apps, they can do blogs, they can do a lot of things that are around technology, which sometimes even experienced older people do not have those skills. So sometimes a lot of youth are starting to make extra money doing that kind of work, building a blog, designing a poster for someone. And it starts off as small money, but often that's how many teenagers end up discovering what their true purpose in terms of career path is. It's important that teenagers start exposing themselves to money as soon as possible, because then they will know that money is earned, and that they will also, you know, get rid of that expectant attitude which prevails when people simply grow up expecting their parents to provide. So it's becoming more fashionable, and it's becoming more and more that you see teenagers even working extra jobs in shopping malls, etc., which you didn't see in the past.
Most definitely. And again, you know, like you say, they realize that, you know, money doesn't grow on trees, and, you know, they becoming more responsible. I think that is the message that the parents would like to get across to their children, that we want you to appreciate what you have and, you know, work for what you want.
Exactly, exactly.
Okay, why should teenagers be encouraged to start their own businesses, especially now in South Africa?
Well, it's because of the high youth unemployment. So there's more and more probability that if you're a young person and you do study, there's a high probability you won't get a job. So entrepreneurship is the one way in which you can create a job and create a career and income for yourself as an adult.
Most definitely. And then again, you know, not everybody gets to go to university. I mean, if you have that opportunity, also once you qualify, there's no guarantee that you will get a job.
Definitely. Both, that's the biggest issue right now, in that you've got youth unemployment going at near 30%, and it's rising. And the economy, we're going through a tough patch. A lot of the skills which the youth have today, they must explore. Because even if you read the research, they say that most of the jobs which will be available in 15, 20 years from now don't exist today. We're going through a digital economy, a digital age. And the youth have the power to take control of those opportunities much more so than those who are even working now.
Most definitely, most definitely. And Gerald, please, if you can share, right, what tips can you share with our youth who are listening, right, who are interested in starting their own business?
I think the first thing for us to consider is that the youth must have realistic expectations. So it's important to have realistic expectations about the kind of income you can make. I know we watch TV, social media, And people are always putting pictures of expensive cars, supercars, houses. That is not realistic expectation. Realistic expectation is about saying, how much am I willing to accept as a start? And you should be willing to start very low. 100 rand, when you've never earned money before, a lot of money.
No, definitely.
So you should have the expectation that my income will grow and over time it will accumulate. But do not have the expectation that after I've done my first website or after I've done my first blog for someone, they're going to pay me and I'm going to be a billionaire. Yes, we read and hear the stories of the guys who started the tech companies and how young they are, and then how some of them had never went to university. But those are literally 1 in 6 billion. So we need to have realistic expectations as to what you can earn. It's also important that when you are earning the money, that you start realizing that saving and investing that money is important from day one.
Mm-hmm.
Not something that's going to start when you've got a pile. It starts with that 100 rand you make first time. How much are you going to put back into your business? Because essentially running a business is about managing cash flows. It's about ensuring that you know that there's enough money in the business for tomorrow. So saving and investing are very key components of any entrepreneur, because a business person is always looking ahead. Not enjoying today. They're always thinking of what can I do better tomorrow, or what can I take advantage of in the future.
Also, you know, to our listen, to the young listeners that are tuned in, you know, using social media gives them an idea of what people are looking for, what is popular around there, see if that's your passion and then work towards it. Also using social media to market their business, I think that'll be an excellent idea.
Well, definitely. I think social media is probably a step ahead.
Definitely, definitely.
In your own community and in your school, the average high school probably has about 1,000 learners. So already in your school, just by getting 1 rand a day from everyone in your school, you can make 1,000 rand by doing something which everyone wants in your school. So if it's 10 rand a day, already that's an economy of 10,000 rand which you can take advantage of. It's important to do that. I would not always encourage young people to go onto social media unsupervised, because your parents need to know what's going on. There's a lot of dangers and risks of social media in that it's not always what it seems.
But
obviously, once you are more mature and your parents give you your blessing in terms of being able to have those social media accounts, you can start going onto there, because you're exposing yourself to the whole world when you go onto social media. But I would say essentially start in your community, start in your neighborhood, start in your school, and then when you've proven yourself in that, then speak to your parents, and then your parents can assist you in terms of knowing if social media is safe, especially in the world as it is today.
No, definitely. And then now we're talking about small businesses, and we're talking about children that would like to start their business. Now, like you say, when they look at certain pictures and they have these expectations of having this fancy car and this fancy home, one day we all hope to have that. But we're talking of kidpreneurs, teenpreneurs. So we're being realistic, starting off small. So some ideas, I mean, we all know about the lemonade stand, and then we go again to say that teenpreneurs is more than just the lemonade stand.
Well, it's more than just a lemonade stand, but also a lot of the time the biggest opportunity for young people is in the thing which people don't see the most value in. So, yes, something like sweets at school. As children and young people eat a lot of sugar. So you can sell sweets for 50 cents or 1 rand, and you'd be surprised how many people have loose change. Because to me, the loose change is what makes the most money. So if you can get something which works for you, which is under 1 rand, you're more likely to succeed than the person who's doing something that's more expensive, like beauty and makeup.
Exactly.
So you need to try and come up with something which everybody likes, and you can sell for a small price. So pencils, for example, you always run out of pencils and pens. So be the guy in the classroom, or who in the school, everyone knows if you want to buy a pen, go to you. You know, sweets and snacks, food is a big thing for young people. Again, you can go in that direction. It doesn't always have to be fancy technology, which gets you by. You can essentially, you know, start with, by managing your expectations to say the money I make from my business is just for my pocket money. So you don't need to start wanting a lot, just to get enough money for your pocket money, maybe to watch a movie here and there. Because that's the easiest way to get in there. Once you get onto the social media, you need devices, you need expensive gadgets, and sometimes your family might not have the money to afford those gadgets, so don't put yourself under pressure. Rather be the guy who sells the sweets, and you make 20 cents per sweet, but you're selling 200, 300, 400, 500 sweets a day, and before you know it, you can get into that gadget zone and in that space. It's also important to realize that teenpreneurship is also important, because if you look in the Muslim community, there's a lot of business owners. So sometimes teenpreneurship for you is just simply go and help out at the family business. Start understanding how the business works. Start understanding how we order goods, how employees are paid, and how things are made in your parents' store. And it might mean that one day you take over, or once you're ready, you'll be surprised. Maybe they will actually let you open your own version of what they are doing. So you may say, my parents are old-fashioned. They're just selling shoes and clothes. That's not fashionable. But you need to understand how to sell shoes and clothes before you can start trying to sell a computer and a cell phone.
Exactly. And then also, when you're actually there in the business, you realize that the money doesn't just come in. There's a lot of hard work. There's a lot of expenses as well.
Yes, there's a lot of expenses, and I think that's what most people don't realize, that to every successful story, there's many hours of hard work, there's a lot of sacrifice, and there's a lot of things which nobody discloses that they've put in. So as a teenager, if you are going into teenpreneurship, start by giving yourself a really easy target. Let me make 100 rand a week. Then once you're doing 100 a week, a couple of weeks, move it up to 150 or 120, and then 200, and then you manage it. And then before you know it, you could be that teenager who is making thousands a week. And then also remember, teenpreneurship goes hand in hand with education. I know a lot of people say that you don't need education to be an entrepreneur, but there comes a point when you need to know how to balance the books. A point when you need to know how your product actually works. So as much as a lot of the big billionaires will say that they started their business without a formal education or university degree, right now the knowledge they have is probably equivalent to those, or over time they have accumulated the knowledge. So do not discount the power of education and start chasing the money without realizing that you need to chase it hand in hand with empowering yourself with education.
Most definitely. And I think also very important would be for the children to know that if you're starting up this business, why are you doing this? If your answer is, I just want to make money, that's not a good enough answer. What is your goal? What would you like to achieve?
Definitely. You need to want to have a bigger goal. The business is not just about money. I think it's also important to realize that a business is also about giving. I always like to emphasize that message, that any successful venture has to have giving involved. So you also want to give back to the wider community. So you do find, I think you call it the Takaful principle.
Yes.
Where you give to the less fortunate and you're able to sow into other people's lives. If you start that kind of thinking from a young age, you will receive the blessings you need for your business.
Most definitely.
So if you do not actually have giving as part of your value proposition, it's going to be a problem, because a business is not all about me. It's all about giving and thinking about the wider community. And if you do that and release, the blessings will follow yours, and success will be your portion, and you will be able to give even more. So you do find the billionaires in the world, they give the most, because they know that is the power in giving. So regardless of how small your business is, even if you're a teenager, find that friend, find that less fortunate child who you can, whenever you have a good week, give.
Most definitely. Paul's character and integrity as well.
Definitely.
Okay, Gerald, before we have to let you go, I just want you to please share with the parents that are tuned in today, what advice do you give to parents whose children are thinking of opening their own business, or maybe the parent would like the child to try out something different. What would you like to say to them?
I think it's important for parents to support their children's dreams. So for parents, don't crush your child's dream because they want to go into entrepreneurship or do something which you might not understand how it fully works. Rather, support your child, make sure they're in a safe environment, and make sure that if necessary, whenever the time comes, you are willing to sow a seed into their venture, because your children will succeed only with your support. So parents, it's important for them to support those goals. And where you have sometimes a child who wants to do something which is not in line with the family business or the family principles, I would say balance it out. Rather say, if you want to do this, then I also expect you to put certain hours into our family business. I also expect you to do well at school. So you can say, you know what, you can do this hobby or small business of yours, but I'm going to balance it with results in the classroom. Or I'm going to balance it with your contribution in household chores. Or I'm going to balance it with your contribution in our other family businesses. Because sometimes a teenager also needs to learn that that venture they're trying will fail.
Yes, no, definitely.
The biggest lesson, if not the most important lesson for any teenpreneur, is that failure is necessary for you to grow. So also, parents, when your child is going through that failure phase, don't go into the whole, I told you so, it would never work. No, rather help the child to understand that that was just one venture which has failed. There's a lot of teenagers who are successful on small things, and teens love music, for example. So you may buy your child that DJ set, and they play music for their friends, but they might need to fail to realize that the whole class has got the same set. So you need to be pretty good at it to be the one who actually succeeds. So parents, support your children, sow seed when necessary, lead by example, and where you are not keeping sight of what your child is doing, that will create a danger, because your child can venture into those social media circles where they think they're talking to other teenagers or doing business with other teenagers, when it's not in fact the case. When your child is going to make a sale, drive them there. Be there. Make sure that they're working and dealing with people who are safe and people who are going to be empowering your child to create that wealth. If you don't, you can lose your child either to another person who will take advantage of your child, or indeed the world at large, where the morals are not high. And you know, if you do not set the bar for your child, then you're pretty much letting your child go to the world.
So the communication has to be there all the time, and obviously the monitoring, so you know what's going on.
Yes, and it's important, don't always sell the money angle. Talk about what are you doing, and always challenge your child. Ask them, what good will this bring to other people, this thing that you're doing? And always try and bring them back into realizing that the principle of giving is very key to any successful business. And sometimes giving is what you do when you're actually paying employees. The act of paying someone else's salary is an act of giving. So you need to have those ideas, and you need to allow your child to pace themselves. Also realize that your child often will know more than you in what they are doing, because we are not digitally wired like the young children. So sometimes the questions we ask may not be relevant, and the child actually know more than we do.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And you back on to Youth Talk with me, Bibi Aisha Lahir, on Radio Islam International and Simulcast on Sirius FM. Today we're talking about teenpreneurs, and just before the ad break we spoke to international financial economics motivational speaker Gerald Mwanjambira, who explained to us what is teenpreneurs and how it's growing, becoming so popular here in South Africa. We said for young teenagers to start businesses, we don't have to go very big very quickly. Start off small. You could sell sweets, you could do babysitting, you could help with tutoring, you could wash neighbors' cars, you know, help with gardening, small things, but it's the small sense that accumulate and later gets you to your goal. So now what we're going to be doing is, we do encourage you to please call us on 011-854-1548. If you are a teenpreneur, tell us what got you into the business. How many setbacks have you had? How's it going for you? There are parents that are listening in. If your child is a teenpreneur, please share with us how is that going. But I would like to introduce our next guest. His name is Abdul Malik Tejansi. He left Sierra Leone to come to South Africa as a teenager with the hope of starting his own business. His journey is one filled with lots of hard work, commitment, even disappointments, but alhamdulillah, success. He's going to share with us the importance of never giving up on your goals and how to achieve success. You know, we're just talking when it was the ad break, and this is basically Abdul Malik's motto: be positive, patient, and persistent. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Abdul Malik, and welcome to Radio Islam International.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Aisha. Thank you for having me.
It's only a pleasure. You know, we chatted in the week and we spoke about your journey to be where you are today. MashaAllah, it is so inspirational. Now, before the ad break, Gerald gave a lot of ideas to our listeners on how they can start up their own business as teenagers. And he explained that there are going to be disappointments, there are going to be bad days and bad weeks.
Absolutely.
But never give up. And now, alhamdulillah, you know, you are the living example of the theory that he just shared.
Okay,
please tell us about the disappointments, tell us about your goals, tell us about how did you get to where you are today?
The first and first, disappointment is going to come. As much as you will be so hungry to achieve success and everything, but first thing that you should expect is disappointment.
Mm.
And then people going to disappoint you in left, right, and center. And then you're going to think that it's time to give up, but that's the time you have to push up one more time. So like when I started my journey looking for my first ever client to design a website for, to show to people that I can design a website, to start my own business, I think I designed about for 5 different companies, and none of them paid me. And all of them said, no, thank you, sorry, we don't trust you, we don't, you don't have a company register, you don't have a business. How are we going to give you our business, our company information, and then you handle all that for us? These things are sensitive. So for that to happen, like 5 different companies first, they are disappointed me. They almost made me to give up, said, no, this thing is not for me, so let me just go out and look for a job.
Now, Abdul Malik, let's just remind the listeners that at that point in time, you were like 17 years old?
Yeah.
So they looked at you and they said, this is a little kid, what does he know?
Exactly. What do you know? And I was still young and all that, going to knock into these big offices and tell them, hey, you know what, I want to. But then the only thing is that you need to be strong, and then you need to believe in yourself. You have to have the confidence as a teenager. Don't go there and look and walk in as a teenager. Go there walking as if you're 25, 26. Don't say, I want to speak to the receptionist or the HR manager. When I used to go to these offices, I would tell them, can I see your director or the CEO, the founder of this business? And they would tell me, do you have an appointment? I said, no, I don't have any appointment, but I just got I know you guys are facing some problems that I can handle and solve for you. So they'll tell me, oh, what kind of problem we face? I said, okay, your company doesn't have a website, so I can do a website. So, and I was still young, so they'll tell me, okay, let's see what you can do. I'll go on, and then I'll design this website. I'll spend weeks or days writing codes and everything. And then when I come back to this company, and then I say, I want to see the CEO, probably the CEO might like it. And probably the financial manager said, no, we're not on for this. We can't leave a teenager like this all our sensitive information. And then handling our website, what's tomorrow? Is a foreigner? What if he goes back to his country? What's going to do about our domain and all that?
Yes, but yet they've seen your ability. They could see what you could do, but they were probably hesitant because you were young, and then again you said you were a foreigner.
Absolutely.
How did that make you feel?
Well, somehow made me feel bad, want to give up, but then there was just something in me that always said, no, just try one more time, knock into another company and see. So eventually I had a client that actually said, okay, you know what, you have been coming here for over years, every year, every month, you want us to give you this, that, why can't we give you a job? I told him, no, thank you, I don't want a job, I want to start my own business, I'm an entrepreneur, and I want to have my own thing going on just like you. You're happy, you're not looking for a job, this business is here. I said, yes, and then I've been in this business for long years. I said, just like me, the next 10 to 15 years, I want to say the same thing. I just said, if you give me a shot, and then I'll make it happen for your business. And then, alhamdulillah, he said, okay, And then he gave me my first website. And eventually when I saw that the website business, because I was still young, it would be very hard and difficult for me to get more clients.
Mm-hmm.
So out of the money I was making, I was investing it in building computers and selling them.
Mm-hmm.
So I built a couple of computers, was selling them, and then so I had about 10, 15 computers, and I knew that it was hard, and then because of the economy and all that, for people to buy then, they rather go to Macro and other big companies and take on accounts.
Yeah.
Because I was an entrepreneur, I mean, I want cash, I want you to pay me now and take your business and go so I can get money and start that thing.
And did it happen that way? Because like you said, there were a lot of companies that asked you to assist them, but they didn't pay you because you were so young.
Yeah, it happened. Yeah, it happened. So many companies and all that. And but then I was second year. I was actually in school. So then when some of my friends used to say, hey, why can't you just focus in school instead of doing business at all? And I say, I got nothing to lose. If I finish my studies, I'll still look for a job. If my business went well before I finish my studies and shukran alhamdulillah, I don't need to look for a job. I'd rather employ you earlier.
Okay, now Abdul Malik, I need to ask you something. Like you said, you were still at school. How were you balancing the time? I mean, obviously you were at high school, lots of homework. Takes a lot of your time, and yet you were still, following your dream, following your passion of having your own business. How did that work out? How did you balance your time?
Just as you read my quote, you need to be positive, patient, and persistent. So I was persistent with my schoolwork. I never played with it, and it was a priority for me.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, while I was in South Africa, I was looking after myself, so I had to pay my rent and my bills. So whilst I'm telling you this, I was actually working as a delivery guy for a Jolly Grabber for a company.
And you were you were working also, so you were getting, money.
Some tip out there and there to survive.
Yes. And like you said, you were persistent. You never gave up.
Never gave up. That's a goal.
Okay. Now, again, very, very important point that, a previous guest also mentioned that, yes, people have hopes and dreams to become businessmen and businesswomen. And from, as young as you are, it's good to have that dream. But don't ever forget that you need that education, because obviously once your business is up and running, you still need to balance the books. And again, with you, what are your thoughts about it? That, yes, you can pursue this business dream, but education is also very important.
That's okay. Well, education is actually okay, because the day I actually woke up to what education could do for anybody was a life-changing day for me.
Yes, most definitely.
So you have to focus on your education. You have to make sure that you get the basic. And then getting an education is really a key, because I said, there was a quote saying about education is the key to success.
Yes.
But I said the key to success is Salah.
Salah comes first.
And then after Salah, and then you can get education. Because if you can communicate with your Allah, He can give you the right direction and where to head from.
Open the doors for you.
Open the doors, and then you can get the education that you need.
So Abdul Malik, when you had those days that you were disappointed, when people, again, were not believing in your dream because, again, you were so young, you were a teenager. They saw your ability, but they were hesitant because they thought you were a foreigner, you're a teenager, they don't know you, you're not listed as a company, who are they dealing with? When you went home, obviously you were crushed, because you proved yourself and these people are not believing in you. You didn't have family with you, because like you said, you came from another country. What gave you that boost to say, I'm going to wake up tomorrow and I'm going to try again? It's very easy to give up. What kept you motivated? What kept you being persistent? What made you persistent?
Because, you see, anything you have to do in this world, you need to get your why. Your why, because, the person that raised me, my grandmother said, you're going to get your why. I said, you're going to choose whether you want to do it here or year after. So,
please repeat that quote. Your grandmother always told you.
You got to choose one thing, and then you're going to work for that one thing. You can't get two things at the same time.
Mm.
So you're either going to decide whether you want this world or you want the year after. If you want the year after, you're going to make a lot of sacrifices, and then you're not going to enjoy both world, but dunya is hardly happen. So if you want to enjoy this dunya, and then you're going to sacrifice the year after, astakullah. So if you want the year after, you're going to make a lot of sacrifices for the akhirah. So my main goal was my why. My why does it seem that like to make my grandmother proud, and then for me to achieve things that I've seen, that I said, okay, I want to have my own business, I want to be my own, I want to make sure that I'm able to help other people.
Yes.
And then if I get a job, I won't be able to help, I won't be able to give, but if I make sure that I achieve my goal and I have my business running, I'll be able to help. And then this is what I'm doing now, as I do training, so I'm helping other people getting the required skills that they deserve too. So my why was to have my own business running, for me to be able to employ other people.
Alhamdulillah.
For them to survive, so
just tell us again, for our budding teenpreneurs that are tuned in today, how important is giving back? when you've reached your goal and you are where you are, alhamdulillah, we make dua, Allah takes you even higher, inshallah. How important is giving back?
Giving back is, because as a Muslim, our five pillars of Islam, the one thing is there is zakat, is priority.
Alhamdulillah. Mm-hmm.
So giving back is super influential, and without giving back, I don't know how you're going to get. So you got to give back to people. Mm-hmm. You're going to give back to the community. So the more you give, the more you're going to get. And then if you fail to give, and then because you don't know, you're holding someone else's blessing by not giving them.
Yeah.
So if you can give to them, and then they'll be where they're supposed to be, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take you where you're supposed to be. So you giving doesn't mean that Allah, you're taking away your blessings, or you're going to starve, or you're going to suffer and anything. By you giving back means that you're getting more rewards, more blessings, and more barakah. So the more higher level you will go, Allah will take you more than where you expect, beyond your imagination.
Inshallah. I just have to ask you this out of curiosity. When you just started out and you approached certain companies to do their work, and like we said again, you know, they were a bit hesitant. Alhamdulillah, when they see you today, what do they say?
Well,
I won't say, have you gone back to them? Can I ask, have they approached you?
Yeah, a couple of them have approached me. Yeah. And then, because before I started my business, I sent CVs to a couple of companies that I want to work for.
Mm-hmm.
So by then I wanted to work for these companies, and then the HR were like, no, we can't employ you. And then, so recently, like, some meetings that I've attended, and then the HR, they're sitting now, and then I'm talking with their directors, and then we get into business and partnership and all that. So that's life.
And they look at you and they say, I remember you. You were this little boy that was in my reception area.
Absolutely. They said that, and then they just laugh over it over the table, and then it's fine.
And knowing you probably would tell him, yes, I was, and alhamdulillah, I'm okay, now give me your business.
And some of them, I even go there and tell them, yeah, you remember I came here to deliver food for you, and then you didn't give me tip. Now you're working.
I came to deliver food for you and you didn't tip me. Today you're coming for my business. But you know what? It's so inspiring to listen to you, because, you know, we know how young you were when you came to South Africa. Alhamdulillah, your granny gave you the best advice. She said, choose. You want either dunya or akhirah. And if you want the akhirah, you need to make a lot of sacrifice. And that's the truth. And the thing is that when you're working hard and you're working with integrity and honesty, Allah opens doors for you.
Absolutely.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens doors for you, because obviously you're living proof of it. What would you like to tell our listeners, you know, the young teenpreneurs who already, you know, gave their businesses, or the others that are thinking about it? What would you like to say to them?
So what I would like to say to especially teenagers that want to get into entrepreneurship or want to make sure that they achieve their goals, they have their dream inside of them, first of all, they have to get their why. Their why should be so strong, should be bigger than anything.
Mm.
Because if that why is not strong enough, they're going to give up.
Yeah, so why am I doing this?
Why am I doing this? But why I was doing whatever I was doing was to give back to the community, to make my grandmother proud.
Subhanallah.
So whatever, they crush my dreams, I go to companies, they don't pay me, I spend hours writing hundreds of lines of code for them, they don't pay me, I go home, I'll cry. But I always said, no, I want my grandmother to be proud, I need to go to school, I want her to know that I can get a degree, I want her to know I can get my own business, and then I'll be a successful person one day, inshallah.
Mm-hmm.
So those are my why, and then so I never give up because of that. So the thing, what the teenagers today should have, their why, their reasons of going after the dream and pursuing them, but then your wife should be strong.
And also taking the blessings of the elders in the family, like you've taken from your grandmother.
Absolutely, that is very important. It's a key to every success.
And there's another thing that you mentioned, which is so important and so admirable, salah.
Your salah is one thing you don't play with.
Alhamdulillah. Abdul Malik, just one moment, please. I think we have a call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam. How you been?
Alhamdulillah. Apa, who am I speaking to?
You're speaking to Rashida.
How are you, sister?
Okay. You know, it reminds me, when it comes to business, it reminds me of Nelson Mandela's words.
Mm.
He should say, be optimistic,
Chief.
Look at the sun, and move your feet forward.
Alhamdulillah. Well said. Yes. Well said. Be optimistic. Please, Abba, yes? please repeat it. Be optimistic, look at the sun,
and move your feet forward.
Alhamdulillah. Well said. Jazakumallahu khairun. Did you hear that, Abdul Malik? Be optimistic. Look at the sun.
And step forward.
Because every day is a new beginning. Every day is a chance to make a difference.
Absolutely.
What does your grandmother say to you now?
She passed away.
May Allah grant her Jannat al-Firdaus.
Ameen, Ya Rabbi. And just away, because it happens by the time I was actually struggling to get my fees paid to university.
Mm.
And then And she always said, you know what, you go there and then you make your salah and then you talk to your Allah, he will make a way. I can't do anything. I'm too old. I can't work. And then I won't be able to do anything for you. I said, but then what I can do for myself, I'll make, keep making dua. So it was that. Keep knocking doors for me to get my fees paid, to get a sponsorship from different organizations in South Africa. I'm a foreigner. And a lot of people will tell me, why are you wasting your time? They aren't going to pay for you. They don't pay for foreigners. They only pay for South African locals. I said, no, well, I'll keep trying. So one day I was delivering my food. The person I met was the person in charge of paying fees for giving zakat fees to Muslims. So I told him, I said, hey, I'm a Muslim and then I want to study. I've applied to your organization a couple of times. He said, oh, okay, yeah, you qualify, you work in here and all that. I'll find out from your company. And I said, no problem, you work much anytime. Next day he said, bring here your fee statement, will pay your fees.
Subhanallah. See, the power of dua, the power of having faith and being persistent, and also your grandmother's dua, that this opportunity came.
Yeah. So I called my grandma. I told her, you know what? Dua's answered. Masala, I'm reading them five times. He said, you sure? Yeah, I said, because my fees is already sorted out.
Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Abdul Malik, we wish you even more success that you have now. Alhamdulillah, you are doing well in your business, and more so, you know what, it's about building relationships and you are making a difference. And I know you are giving so much to the community. I know you're based in Durban now, am I correct?
Yes.
Okay, may Allah grant you so much of success, inshallah, and reward you in abundance. And remember, with your grandmother's dua, may you rise even higher and higher, inshallah.
Ameen. Ya Rabbi.
Jazakum Allah khairan. And thank you so much for making the time to come to on the show. Shukran.
Okay. You're welcome.
Okay, to our listeners, success story, alhamdulillah, so many success stories. Remember, if you follow your passion, firstly, you know, take the blessings from your parents. And, you know, wise words from Abdul Malik, like from his grandmother. She said, why do you want to do this? You must know, have the why in your life. Am I doing this for dunya or am I doing this for akhirah? Obviously, if you choose to chase the dunya, there's going to be plenty of obstacles and it's not going to get you anywhere. If you choose to go to please Allah and to get goodness in your akhirah, Allah will open doors. Don't give up. Be persistent. And if you're looking, you know, to open a business, the most important thing is look for what is something that is what you like, what you're passionate about, what will help other people. And one day, inshallah, when you reach those goals, remember where you started. So when somebody comes to you and they need some assistance, remember that you were also in that place one day. Be a giver. The more you give, Allah gives you more, inshallah. So we wish you success in whatever it is that you do. To everyone that is writing exams, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for you and grant you success, inshallah. We will be back with you next week on News Talk, inshallah. Jazakum Allah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.